Welcome to Sean Messianic Bible Club, and we are ready for a Bible study this morning. Our topic is going to be on one of my favorite subjects of the Bible, and that is God Himself, known by us as the Holy Spirit, known by the Bible. Because you never really get a name for the Holy Spirit. You got Yeshua, you got Yahweh, but then nobody ever really said, well, what's the Holy Spirit's name? Well, Jesus said what his name was. His name is the Helper. So, and if Jesus is Hebrew, he didn't say, oh, and his name is the Helper. He said, his Hashem Eliezer. He's the Helper. My Father will send Eliezer to come and help you. And I just thought it was kind of incredible to look at the Genesis 15, 1 and 2, when it tells the story of Eleazar of Damascus is going to inherit everything that I have. Mm-hmm. And Eleazar meaning the helper, and Damascus meaning the perfect love, or in the Greek, it's telia agape. So Eleazar leads us where? To perfect love.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a love story. We're talking about God wanting a wife, trying to find out what the bridal cost for that wife is. Found out that the bridal cost for a bride was blood on the cross.
Yes.
Still went through it. Paid the price for his bride. Drank the wine and said, I won't drink with you anymore until I see you in the kingdom of heaven. Went through all the marital ceremonies with the bride and then said, I'll be back. I'm going to build us a house.
Yes.
And I'll be back in my Father's house of many mansions. And he says, I'm coming back to take you to be with me where I am. So the Holy Spirit is going to come back. He's going to take his bride. He's going to take the bride to the Son, Yeshua. And then the wedding feast will commence after that. So the story of Eleazar is quite an incredible story, because he is God, he is the helper. And that Jesus sent, and his job is, what was Saul? He was on the road to Damascus, right?
Right.
He's on the road to perfect love.
Yeah.
And who does he meet? Jesus, right? And finds out what real love is all about, okay? And so we're going to read about Eleazar's story, because Eleazar's job is almost over. It's been almost over since the 6,000 year hit. And I think they're just preparing the table, and they're preparing the time that we're going to be in the kingdom of God. So we're going to get into this study today. And I wanted to make sure that I thank was it Charlene? Oh yeah. Yeah, we did Charlene's card last night, right? Charlene and Marlene.
Yes, yeah, the two sisters, yes.
Praise God. Okay. And then I wanted to read something that Yemi wrote. She said, dear Pastor Sandy, Matthew 24 and 37, Jesus is coming when they try to corrupt the human DNA as Noah's time. The rapture is so soon. See you in the clouds, your sister Yini.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
And they are looking to do this right now. So, but I'm not worried about it.
Oh, your mic. You put your mic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You can hear me, but barely. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I had a vision of a guy at the Red Sea. He was selling newspapers so that people could read all of the dangerous things that are in the water. You know, the sharks are in the water. And then when you go in there, They're going to bite your legs and they're going to slowly eat you to death. You know what I mean? It's like you could read so many of the newspapers at the Red Sea that you're so afraid of the water. And God is like, don't worry about the water. You'll walk through on dry ground. Don't worry about that, you know. Forget the guy reading, selling the newspapers.
Okay.
So let's pray in. And we're going to get started with today's Bible study. And I want to thank everybody for all the beautiful gifts that you sent last night. And I wanted to make sure that I got into this book a little bit. I was last night where it was too late to get into all of it. But thank you so much for sending these books. These are so incredible. Both of those books are like, Pastor Ben, that's really how people should be studying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that book is late. Okay. So I want to thank Mark and Nancy for sending that. And now let's get into our Bible study for today. But we're going to pray in first. Hallelujah. I hope you guys know the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew already. I love it now that I know that Hatzilano means rapture. That means a lot more significance to me when God told him, this is the prayer I want you to pray. So let's pray. Avanu Shabbat Shabbatim Yit Kadeshimcha. Tavo Melchutecha Yi Aseror Sanaka. Be'aretz Ke Asher Ne'asa Beshamaim. Ten Lano Hayom Lechem Hukenu. Uselach Lano Et Ashmetenu. Ke Asher Solechem Anachnu Le Asher Ashmilanu. Vi'al Tevienu Lede Masa. Ke'im Hatzilanu Min Hara. Kilacha Hamamlecha. Vehagivra, vehatiferet, leolame, leolamim, amen. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach, nachnu tefillim, and let's go, you guys. Okay, give us the shout outs, and then we'll go to the board after the shout outs.
Okay, we have Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay, Texas.
Fort Worth, Texas. Okay, so Sparks, Nevada, mm-hmm. Burlington, New Jersey, mm-hmm. Northbridge, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Indiana.
Hallelujah.
Hold on, because they come in as I'm reading. Watching from Virginia.
Hallelujah.
Indiana, Burlington. Jazz. Okay, from the UK, Temple, Texas, Fort Knox, Tennessee, South Africa.
Hallelujah.
Longwood, Florida.
Hallelujah.
Georgia, South Africa again, Nairobi, Kenya.
Yes.
Massachusetts, Canton, Ohio.
Yes.
Greece, Arlington, Texas.
Yes.
Richardson, Texas. Hold on. Tulsa, from Germany, from East Point, Oregon.
Someone in Germany posted a video and they took it down again. But they keep trying to post the thing now telling people don't take any vaccine.
Uh-huh, and they took it down.
They took it down again. They posted it on Facebook and they took it down.
Fort Knox, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arlington, Texas, New Zealand. From Toledo, Ohio, Germany, Virginia, Chicago, Burlington, Dallas,
thank you.
Texas, Ohio again.
Wow.
Destin, Florida.
You might just have to say America.
I know, right? Well, not just America.
I know. America and abroad.
Tulsa, Oklahoma,
hallelujah.
Houston, Salem, North
Sooners.
Arkansas,
well,
El Dorado, Arkansas, Cincinnati, Ohio, Olympia, South.
Wow.
South.
You guys are gonna make me cry.
South Erica, Cape Town, Avado, Colorado, Winnipeg,
hallelujah.
Winnipeg. The Blue Bombers are watching?
I know.
All right, let's go, Winnipeg.
Virginia, Poland, Georgia, Winnipeg, Wisconsin.
Winnipeg.
Saints from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Hallelujah.
Georgia, Kentucky, Dubai.
Dubai.
Long Beach, California, where we are.
Yeah, come on by.
Poland, Dubai.
Mm-hmm. Poland, that's our friends in Poland, Pastor Ben.
Dubai, Wisconsin,
yeah.
Kentucky.
Okay.
Trinidad.
Trinidad, Tobago.
Germany, censorship is heavy. They said in Germany, cybersecurity is heavy.
It's heavy in Germany? Wow. That's why then.
Alabama, Indiana. And what else we got? San Dimas, California, Toronto.
Yeah.
Ontario.
Toronto.
Maryland.
I hope that's Deborah.
Germany. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hallelujah. I want.
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hey, Salt Lake City. Praise God. That's
North
a beautiful
Sweden,
place.
Pastor. North Sweden.
Hallelujah. All over. Thank God, because we're all leaving soon.
Yes.
And so we'll all be in one place. And. Many languages and tongues praising the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, and I'm.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I'm sorry.
The okay.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Well, good. Roll Tide. My dad's from Dothan, Alabama. Roll Tide. And so, I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit today. I wanted to discuss the Holy Spirit because at this time we are, I hope you guys understand what I'm saying, what I'm saying, because last night I really tried to like, just take the time and really explain what you're saying, you know, and sometimes you can explain so much, like this guy, the girl was like, hey, you know, do you love me? And he goes, well, you know, he's telling her all the things I love about you, and da 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 da. And she goes, just cut to the chase. You want to get married or not? And so I'm trying to cut to the chase to say 40 days after the 17th of Hezbon is Hanukkah, is the fourth of Hanukkah. And a prophecy was given to us in John chapter 10 and 11 and 12 exactly. But we didn't get into the portion with chapter 12. And the feast that was being given with Lazarus sitting at the table. But we are in this whole scenario of the Holy Spirit. What I'm really trying to say is the 17th of Hezbon did not happen. And it appears that God is leading me, and Deborah in Toronto is right, God is leading me. And every time I pray, God says, okay, with all the long prayers and a lot of this. Because, you know, you can get into, well, what happened now, Lord? It's like, relax, I'm leading you. This is what God always tells me. Relax, I'm leading you. And then I can be calm about the prayer and realize God is leading me. And for Carrie Oates to call me, and she was persistent. She called a couple of times. Then I finally called her back and to ask the question, was Lazarus raised on the 4th of Hanukkah? That just opened a Pandora's box, and we just like... And then God's like, I'm going to show you everything. God is amazing when it comes to Bible studies with me. And I'm so appreciative and so thankful for the way he deals with me concerning his word. But it opened up a door. And then now we saw that 40 days after the flood is the 4th of Hanukkah. And 40 days after the flood seems to be the time that the boat was up 15 furlongs. And the whole time. So what I'm really trying to say is, I'm looking forward to a rapture.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a Hanukkah rapture. You know, cut to the chase. I love you. I want to get married. I'm looking for a Hanukkah rapture. That's what I'm saying, okay? Through all the Hebrew and the meanings and the numbers, I'm looking forward to a Hanukkah rapture.
Yeah.
And I can't explain where the wheat harvest comes in there, but I'll find out when I get there. But this Hanukkah and this 40 days and this, it will be as it was in the days of Noah.
Yes.
And then connecting the days of Noah to the Hanukkah, to Hanukkah, was is just amazing.
Yes.
Okay. So I want us to, we're going to step over here to the board for a minute, okay? And because what's going on over here is the story. Now, this is Hebrew class, you know. Sometimes I try to encourage everybody, take the Hebrew course.
Yeah.
Take the Hebrew course. I got it, Pastor Ben. The only way that God was able to teach me the Bible was he had to say, learn Hebrew, and then I'll teach you the Bible. So there must be a base within the Hebrew that you need to have understanding of what God is saying and doing, okay? So we have the first seven letters of the Hebrew, Aleph, Bet, Gamel, Dalit, Hey, Vav, Zion, okay? Those are the first seven letters. These seven letters make up the seven candle menorah, okay? Aleph is God. Bet is the house. Gamel is kindness, okay? Gamel is he's shown kindness. And we'll I don't want to talk about pictures. I want to talk about the meaning of the letter is to show kindness and love. So God built a house and he showed kindness and love by doing what? Sending who? The door, which is delete, the fourth letter. After the door finishes job, then what does he do? He sends hey, the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't know that hey is the Holy Spirit, you'll recognize that this is the letter that after Abraham believed the gospel, God says, you're no longer called Abram. I'm now going to call you Abraham. And all he did was put the Holy Spirit right in the middle of his name.
Yeah.
So he gave Abram the Holy Spirit and called him Abraham. So the Holy Spirit is hey. Now, the Holy Spirit job lasts from this time all the way to the 6,000th year, which is Vav. And Vav means connection, complete salvation.
Yes.
Okay? So it's the Holy Spirit's job is not just to find a bride, but his whole thing is to connect us and bring us all the way to salvation.
Yes.
Okay? Once the salvation will, when the 7,000th year begins, we'll go into the millennium and 1,000 years with Christ reigning and ruling will be the transcendent of life, which is Zion. Okay?
Yes.
So God built a house, showed kindness, sent the door, Jesus. Jesus said, hey, the Holy Spirit, who's going to bring in the work of salvation, because that's when the wedding happens, and then we'll have the 1,000-year millennium. Okay? So the story of this is in Scripture, but we're talking about the process that's in process right now is, hey, the Holy Spirit, Eleazar. He's the one doing his job right now in the world. He's the one that's telling you, study your word. He's explaining Scripture to you. He's telling you what is right and what is wrong. He's the one that's telling you, you need to pray more. The Holy Spirit is not only guiding you and leading you into everything that Christ taught, but he's helping you along in your walk because he's trying to bring you to maturity because you're getting married.
Yes.
And so you need a certain amount of maturity to get married, you know, like Esther didn't just, they didn't just go pick Esther and then get her married. That woman went through a lot.
Yes, she did. 6 months of cleaning.
6 months of, they spent 6 months just cleaning her toes and painting her and nails and bathing her. 6 months of royalty showing her how to clean herself properly. That's 6 months. And then 6 months of what they call decorating her, showing her how to dress, what jewelry to wear, you know, so
royalty.
It was a whole year of her getting prepared to actually meet a king.
Yeah.
And so that's what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. He's preparing us to meet the bridegroom. And so in this is a process of maturity.
Yeah.
Now, the Holy Spirit is doing his job. And so let's look at the job that the Holy Spirit is doing. Come back over here. And we're going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. And here in Genesis chapter 24, Abraham, and if you've been through the Hebrew class, which you should have, you'll see that Abraham, who is playing the role of God, okay? We're talking about biblical typologies. Revelation 19:10 says, the spirit of Yeshua is prophecy. That means everything you read is a prophecy about something else. There is nothing that you begin to read, even from the very first word, Bereshit, you're talking about the crucifixion on the cross, the crown on his head, or not the crowns, but the thorns on his head. Everything is in one word. And then as you go through the whole verse, you'll find out that everything is being prophesied from the very beginning, okay? And so when I'm talking about typologies, I'm talking about the Bible having an author, and the author wants to tell you his story. He wants to tell you how he's going to rescue his bride. He's going to tell you how he meets his bride. He's going to tell you how he takes his bride back. Everything is going to be in scripture, but it's going to be in the typology of other stories that are in the Bible, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's begin to read here in Genesis chapter 24. It says, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant of his household, the one who was in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and to my own relatives and get a wife for my son.
Yeah.
So this is what God commissioned the Holy Spirit to do. Who's the chief person in Abraham's house? Eleazar, the helper. So he says, go and find a bride. And now you have this conversation. Make sure that you do not take my son. Wait a minute, I skipped the verse 5. The servant asked Abraham, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure, Abraham says, that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's house and my native land, who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angels before you so that you can get a bride for my son from there. Okay, so now he's saying, the angels are going to help you. Seven angels of the seven churches. Understand? So now he's going to send his angels to actually help you find this bride. Okay? And it says, if the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from the oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of the master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of the master's camels and left. taking with him all kinds of good things from his master, and he set out for Aram and Haran, and made his way and Ne'aram, and made his way to Nahor. He had the camel kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward the evening, the time the women come out to draw water. Okay? Now, why does he find her at the well? Okay? Why is this that in Genesis, he finds her at the well? Because God is going to show you this same story so you don't get this mixed up that he's talking about a Jewish story. Now he's talking about going to get a bride for his son, which is going to be a Gentile story. You understand? So when you get to the New Testament, when he meets the woman by the well, and that woman is a Samaritan, and they have this conversation that explaining to her that he is the Messiah, she gets excited and goes and tells her brothers. And her brothers come to see, and they tell her, now we don't even have to believe what you say. We've seen for ourselves. And so now in Samaria, Jesus is there preaching the gospel and bringing the good news to the woman that he met by the well and all of these Gentiles, and he stays there for 2 days.
Yes.
Preaching the gospel and people getting saved. Are they Jews? No. But understand what's going on here. I'm telling you the story of the woman by the well because the woman by the well is the one who's going to be the bride. Who's the bride? The Gentile church.
Yes.
Is it mixed with Judaism? Yes. Okay. It's a lot of Jews are going to be at the wedding feast. Do not think that only Gentiles will be there. It'll be a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, but the majority will be Gentiles. So he meets her by the well, and he had the camels kneel down, and he meets her by the well. Then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show me kindness and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the town are coming out to draw water. May it be that I say to the girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink. And she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca, what does Rebecca mean in Hebrew? Hitched, to tie the knot, okay? So by her name, she's saying, I'm somebody, I'm the one you're looking for, right? So before he had finished, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder, and she was the daughter of Bethuel. And the son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lay with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came again. And the servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lower your jar, lower the jar to her hand, and gave him a drink. After she gave him a drink, she said, I will draw waters for your camel too until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied the jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all the camels without saying a word. The man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made the journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beka and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. I'm trying to tell you, like, she just received about $60,000, okay? And then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered, "I am the daughter of Bethuel and the house of God, Bethuel, and the son of Milcah, the queen or the, So, and so, and it says, the son of Milcah bore Nahor. And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." The man bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, "Praise be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on this journey to the house of my master's relatives." So now the Holy Spirit, Eleazar, has been led to the bride. Okay? Now he has one other problem. He's already given her gifts and letting her know, okay? But now he has to convince her to come back and leave where she is and go back with him and marry this Abraham's son. And so now that's going to be a process. Now remember, if I witness to you, and you're a non-believer, and you don't believe, and you won't take the invitation for the marriage, I am free from my obligation, okay? So for everyone who has said, I don't want Christ, I'm a good enough person on my own, what you're basically saying is, I don't want to marry God's son. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm sufficient in myself. For you, God has said to the Holy Spirit, you are free from that obligation. Yes. That person is on their own, okay? But the ones that you find that take the invitation, you've got to also convince them to come back and marry, okay? Let them know this is about a wedding. Let's continue. Yes. Continue where? Where was I at, Pastor Ben? Okay. After she had given him drink, and when 22, I'm going to keep my place from now on. Okay, verse 28. The girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now, Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelet on his sister's arm, and he had heard Rebekah tell the man, the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. "Come, you who are blessed by the Lord," he said, why are you standing out here? "I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Praise God. Amen. I'm going to drink a little water. No, I got it right here. I'm going to drink the water. It'll help me better. Dealing with my healing.
Amen.
All right. So, So the man went to his house, and the camel came. The camels were unloaded, straw and fodder were brought to the camels, and water for him, and the men and his men to wash their feet. The food was set before him, and he said, "I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say." "Then tell us," Laban said. So now the Holy Spirit's going to talk. Here comes the gospel. So he says, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep, cattle, silver, gold, manservants, men servants, camels, donkeys. My master's wife, Sarah, has borne him a son in her old age." Miracle birth, right? "And he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, 'You must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites where you live. But go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son.' Then I asked my master, 'What if the woman will not come back with me?' And he replied, The Lord before whom I have walked, I will send his angel with you and make your journey successful so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. Then when you go to my clan, you will be released from my oath. Even if they refuse to give her to you, you will be released from my oath." So now he's letting him know this is no forced marriage.
Right.
She must be willing to go. I've got my water right here. She must be willing to go. He's letting her know, "I'm here for a wedding." Okay. And a lot of times when we witness to people and we're telling them about Jesus Christ, because the world has taught us, don't tell them about the rapture because the rapture is the wedding, you know, we miss out the very important thing.
Yeah.
That this is about you marrying God's son and there being a wedding feast. You're being invited to a wedding feast. And it's good for people to know that they're not getting invited to be religious. I'm inviting you to a real event that is going to happen, and you are going to be there if you take this invitation. Okay. Then it says, he replied, "Then the Lord before you, I have walked and will send the angels." I read that part 42. "When I came to the spring," the Eliezer are still talking. "When I came to the spring today, I said, 'O Lord of my master Abraham, if you will please grant me success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside the spring. If a maiden comes out to draw water and I say to her, 'Please let me drink a little water from your jar,' and if she says to me, 'Drink and I will draw for your camels too,' let her be the one the Lord has chosen." Before I finished praying, in my heart, Rebecca came out and her with her jar and on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring to draw water and said to her, "Please give me drink." She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink and I will get water for your camels too." So I drank and she watered the camels also. I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor, and Milcah bore to him." Then I put the ring on her nose and a bracelet on her arm, and I bowed down and worshiped the Lord, and I praise the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, I tell you, and if not, tell me so I may know which way to go. And Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or another. Here is Rebecca. Take her and go." We got a problem. Rebecca hasn't said yes. She's wearing the jewelry, but until you accept the invitation of Christ, nothing's on. The parents can say, you know, like our parents took us to church. Uh-huh. That's not a wedding. That's not a marriage, you know what I mean? Until I accepted Christ for myself, I had not accepted the wedding.
That's right.
You understand? So your parents making you go to church is not the wedding. The wedding is your personal decision to say, "I will," okay? So let's see if we can get Rebecca's commitment on this thing. When they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master's house." Wait a minute. I want to make sure about that. This is, "And Abraham's servant heard and said, 'Bow down and bow to the ground.' Then the servant bowed down, gold and silver and costly gifts." Da, 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 da. But her brother. Okay. We'll start reading here in verse 55. "But her brothers and her mothers replied, 'Let the girl remain with us 10 days, then you may go.'" Okay, so they want to try to detain her, right? "But he said to them, 'Do not detain me, now that the Lord has granted me success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to the master.' Then they said, 'Let's call the girl and ask her about it.' So they called Rebecca and asked her, 'Will you go with this man?' 'I will go,' she said." Now we have a wedding, right? So they sent their sister Rebecca on her way along with her nurse and Abraham's servants and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, 'Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of your enemy.'" What kind of, what enemies does she have? Who's writing this book?
God's writing it.
God's talking about something else, right? He's talking about a future for the bride, because not only, we're going to look at this, and I'm going to, because I want to show you something. Because as we're reading this, I'm talking about more than one wedding, but I'm talking about the Gentile wedding first, okay? And understanding that this is not just a Gentile story, this is a Jewish story. You understand? So here we go. "Then Rebecca and her maids got ready and mounted the camel and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebecca and left." Okay, so I'm pretty sure, as I always say, that they helped the women on the, to help Rebecca get on the camel. Okay, I mean, unless she was a really good athlete. So, and it says, "Now Isaac had come from Baal-Hiroi, for he was living in Negev." Okay, now Isaac had come from where he was living, and he moved down south to Negev. Some of your Bibles will say he went to the southern region. Okay, so now here's Jesus. He's in heaven, but he's going down to get his bride. Where does he have to do? He has to come down to the cloud, right? And he'll meet his bride where? At the cloud. Then they'll go back up to the heavens, and then the wedding will take place in the heaven. They're not going to get married on the cloud. They're going to go back to heaven, and that's where they're going to, she's going to see the place that has been built, and that's where the wedding goes. So for God to make sure that he says Isaac left where he was, the land of I will see, or living water, a paradise where he was at, and he went down south to Negev, and now he's waiting in Negev, okay? He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from the camel and asked the servant, "Who is the man in the field coming to meet her, to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done, and Isaac brought her to the tent of his mother, Sarah, and he married Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was confronted after, was comforted after the death of his mother. So here you have Eleazar, his whole trip. He's here to convince you. He's free if you don't want to go. He's here to find a bride. He's going to give you gifts and so you understand that where you're going is great wealth. You understand? So this whole journey of the Holy Spirit is about done. We're about to be lifted up and put on the camel to be taken back to the sun. Okay? So when someone says to me, "What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the world?" He has one mandate from God. You go and find a bride for my son and bring her back here. So that's what he's here to do, okay? So while the Holy Spirit is here, the Holy Spirit is not going to leave unless he takes the bride. When he leaves, the bride goes. Someone says, "Do you think that the Holy Spirit will not exist in the world when the church leaves?" The Holy Spirit is leaving the earth to go back to the heavens. His job will be done. Okay? It's like saying, "Do you think Jesus will stay here even after, you know, he ascends up to the heavens?" No, his job was done 2,000 years ago. He went back to heaven. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is leaving, taking the church, and we're going back to heaven. Yes. All right? That's Eleazar's job. All right? Now, I have to show you something. Because we have the door, and we have here in Revelation chapter 15, Revelation chapter 14, let's go there. Here we go. Yes, Revelation chapter 14. We're going to start at verse 14. Okay. Now, I need to explain something to you. Jacob had two wives. Okay. Rachel and Leah. Okay. The story of Jacob and his two brides is the story of the author of the Bible. The author of the Bible is telling you, "I have two brides," okay? There's going to be two weddings. I'm going to marry Leah, who has how many children? Seven. I'm going to marry the church, who has how many members? Seven, okay? That wedding will take place first. So God marries the Gentile church first, and that marriage takes place first. After that marriage takes place, he makes an agreement to work an additional 7 years to get the bride that he really wanted in the first place. And then, so now he makes a 7-year agreement that he's going to work for the second bride. So God, in God's thing, there's always two brides. One, the first bride is always having a lot of kids, okay? The second bride only has a few kids, and she always has problems giving birth to children. It's almost like God is telling you the same story, like Israel's not producing children in the kingdom because they're not preaching the gospel. But the church is preaching the gospel, so we're producing a lot of children for the kingdom. But Israel, in the end, will produce children, few, but they will be produced as well. The Bible has an author. He's telling his story. I'm going to have two brides. One will be Gentile, one will be Israel, okay? The two will come together and be one. You understand? But you're going to have two weddings. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, we read about the seven churches being in heaven. We see that they've been taken up, they're on a sea of glass, and they're in heaven. Now, for them to get up to the kingdom, Jesus came down on a cloud in the book of Thessalonians. And this is what Jesus said, that he comes down to a cloud and a trumpet blast, and those who had died in who? Christ came up first, and those who were living in Christ came up to the kingdom, right? And then now you have that first wedding. Now you got in chapter 14, chapter 4 is over. That wedding already took place, but chapter 14 is showing you the very end of the tribulation. And here you're going to see another wedding that takes place where? On the sea of glass. Okay, so here I'm going to read this, okay? Now, this is what the Lord did, and this is what I encourage people to do. Always look at what are the similarities and what are the differences. Because in verse 14, it says, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown on his of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. The angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was seated on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, for the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He was seated on the cloud and swung his sickle, and the earth was harvested. Now, he takes a sickle, which is for harvesting fruit, and he harvests the grapes, or the grapes from the vine that were ready to go. He's harvesting the fruit inside of the kingdom, okay? He comes down to a cloud. He has a crown on his head. In Thessalonians, he comes down to a cloud, but he doesn't have a crown on his head because there hadn't been a crowning ceremony yet. But now there's been a crowning ceremony. He's back. He's ready to take his second bride up to the kingdom. Okay? Now, as this happens, we'll see here. Now, this is one thing you have to, in verse 18, it says, still another angel had charge of the fire and came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, take your sharp sickle and reap, for the clusters of the grape of the earth are ripe. Now, remember, the last harvest is a fruit harvest, which is the nation of Israel. Okay? The word fruit in Greek has the same numerical value as Israel in Hebrew. So God makes sure, because what we said, let's go to the numbers. We'll see if it's true. Let's go to the numbers. So in Greek, fruit is 541. Write out Israel in Hebrew, 541. So God is letting you know Israel is the fruit harvest. That last harvest is a fruit harvest. So now he's bringing up this fruit harvest into the kingdom. And there's a second marriage that now, because Israel has now agreed to marry who? They can't marry their old husband.
Right, he's dead.
because their old husband had to die on the cross in order to offer them a new covenant. So now Israel is accepting of the new covenant, and Jesus is rescuing them, and now you have the second wedding, okay? This is Eleazar's job. He's here to find a bride. And once he finds that bride, to take that bride back to the kingdom. What we were studying for the last few days, which I don't know if there's somebody else that did the study before or not, but here we have Lazarus being called out, Jesus himself leaving Jerusalem and the temple of God to go to Bethany, where the figs are not ripe and people are sick, to go back and call forth the dead, but not just to call forth the dead, but to call forth Eleazar to come forth and bring forth from the dead, right? And you have it happening exactly 40 days after 17th of Heshvan. So the Holy Spirit is here to do their job. We've got this timing all complete. We're here past the 6,000th year, the 120th year. We came to the 17th of Heshvan. We're reaching the 40 days of the flood. And then when the 40 days of the flood, you got the fulfillment of this calling to go out now on the 4th of Hanukkah and call Eleazar from the dead. And then you have this beautiful story of not him just coming forth from the dead, but having his garments that he wore in the dead place being taken away. Take away the flesh and the bone that cannot inherit or can't live amongst us. This was foolish to walk around with this. It is no use to you here. So now he gets stripped of his grave clothes and he comes and he begins to live life again. Now in chapter 12, he's sitting at the Passover dinner, or at not even a Passover dinner, but another dinner that they were having in honor of Jesus. He's sitting at another dinner and Lazarus is there. So now you got the wedding feast in chapter 12. So all of this stuff is being typologied into the scripture so that you understand what God is doing. Because as we're at this very point of history, where we're already past the 6,000th year, we're in the 120th year, the church is in dire straits over being harassed by the world, and now you have a rescue that needs to take place. And so we're in this perfect place. And I'm just going, my God, how can you be so poetic as to write something and to make it come to fruition in our day, and then call us to watch and to pray and to keep our eyes open so that we can see the day approaching. So praise God. Yes, to cut straight to it, the Holy Spirit is about to be called out of the world, and he's not leaving alone. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Time for Q&A. We'll do our song, Pastor Sandy.
Oh, no, we don't have a song in us today. We're going to have to just go into the question and answer. I'm going to drink some water, though.
Do you have any more Gatorade?
No, I'm good. I need the water.
Okay, so the first question. It's from Octavia. Hi, Octavia.
Hey, Octavia.
Can you show us where the Star of David is in Genesis 1?
No. Octavia, that is a whole Bible study. We'd be here all day and night. But, Octavia, I am going to send you the Hebrew Bible class, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have both books, but I'm going to send them to you on your email so that you can do. And then I think we should call and talk and go through it together, because I am your pastor and you are going to learn that the Star of David is from God, and you're going to learn it from me.
Yeah.
And we're going to go step by step so that you can see how Satan is trying to say that the Star of David belongs to him, which he isn't even smart enough to create the star of it. But I'm going to send it to you when I get home, and then we're going to go through it together.
Amen. I like that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And this is from Polak. Pastor Sam. Okay, so Pastor Sandy, do you think God has a good sense of humor?
You have a football player who learned Hebrew teaching you the word of God. I think he's pretty funny. Yeah, I do think God has a huge sense of humor.
Amen. Can you explain, this is from MD, can you explain the 144,000 so I can explain it to my brothers?
I don't know why that 144,000 is so hard to understand, because that, first of all, the 144,000 is 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, okay? If anyone says that they are a part of the 144,000, they're going to have to prove that they have Jewish Hebrew lineage, and I don't mean black Hebrew, because I mean, this is not no black Hebrew thing. You have to have Jewish Hebrew lineage from the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And now you have to understand that the 144,000 will be here on earth during the tribulation, bringing the gospel to the nation of Israel, okay? Before, when Jesus comes down to the cloud and takes up the fruit harvest in the tribulation, the first people that are going to leave at the end of the tribulation is the 144,000, okay? So is the 144,000 the only people that are going to heaven? That's a Jehovah's Witness lie. The 144,000 are those that are here during the tribulation, and they're preaching the gospel to the nation of Israel. When it ends, God is going to, if you read Revelation chapter 14, God calls them up to heaven, and 144,000 are in heaven, and they're singing a song that only they know. Then Jesus comes down to the cloud. He takes up the fruit harvest, the Jews in the tribulation, and then after that, then of course the wrath comes down, and then Jesus returns. So the 144,000 is 144,000 Jews, okay? It is not 144,000 of the best Jehovah's Witnesses or the black Hebrew Israelites, none of that. There are 144,000 Jews that have lineage in the Jewish nations, okay?
Amen.
I hope.
I think you did.
Okay.
What is Nibiru? N-I-B-U-R-U.
Nibiru? Okay. The planet Nibiru?
It says, what is Nibiru?
I don't know what that is. You know, everybody keeps telling me about the planet Nibiru and no, the planet Nibiru and all these things that are going to happen because of the planet Nibiru. I stick to the Bible.
Yeah.
I don't get involved in the planet Nibiru or planet X or all of this stuff that, you know, has become popular through YouTube. I'm sticking with the Bible. The next big event is the rapture.
Yeah.
And then the next big event for the world is the tribulation. Yeah. So that's the whole truth. Planet Nibiru and all of that, we could bounce back and forth through all that stuff, and it's still not in the Bible. So,
amen. Have you added or examined all rapture scenarios? Is there a Hebrew number pattern to it?
Ooh. Could you ask that question one more time, Pastor Ben?
Have you added or examined all rapture scenarios? Is there a Hebrew number pattern to it?
Yeah, we did that study last week, didn't we? Didn't we do the study on the Natsal? The not rapture is Natsal. There's even if you want that Bible study, I will send it to you. Look at this, Pastor Ben. These cards were stuck together, and so I couldn't see the card that was behind it. But look, they got a picture of themselves, and it looks like they're getting baptized in Israel.
Oh my goodness.
Is that incredible?
That's Incredible.
Wow. That is pretty awesome.
That's awesome. So we did that study already then.
Yeah, we did that study already. And yes, remember I kept trying to see if rapture was in the Bible? Yes, it is. Yeah. But we did that study. It's called Rapture. The Netzal is the rapture, or the rapture is Netzal. But if you email me, I'll send you the notes to it. Okay?
Amen. Can you tell us again why there are 150 chapters in Psalms?
50, 50, and 50 is Jubilee, Jubilee, Jubilee. It's new beginning, new beginning, new beginning. Someone else gave me another thing concerning it as well, but I forget right now. But that God is always going to be in. He does things with a triple number. So 150 Psalms has to do with the Trinity of God, and that being the completion of the Jubilee.
Amen.
Thing. But I could give you a better answer, but there's some more information concerning that I'm not giving you right now, but it's really kind of brings you to the fact that God is doing this thing in completion.
Amen.
Yeah.
Pastor, from when did the 120 years start to determine that we are in the 120th year?
All you got to do is look in the book of Psalms. And then all you got to do is just look at each prophecy. Psalms 1, Psalms 2, Psalms 3, Psalms 4, Psalms 5, Psalms 6. All of the Psalms are going to prophesy everything that happened in the 1900s. Psalm 47 is going to prophesy what happened with UN and Israel when they came together to give them back the land. Psalm 48 is going to talk about the prophecy of Psalms of Israel going back into the land. Psalms 67 is going to talk about the Six-Day War and Israel winning. Psalms 91 is going to talk about God protecting Israel during the Gulf War. So all the Psalms are, God is making sure you keep count by showing you what is going to happen in those particular years. Even Psalms 39 to Psalms 45 is the Holocaust. So God made it simple. All you got to do is look at the Psalms, and the Psalms will prophesy each year. And then when you get to Psalms 120, then see if what's going on in 2020 is what's written in Psalms 120. And you'll see, Father, rapture us from lies. Take us, deliver us from lies. And every doctor that I've been listening to lately said the world is being lied to in a big way. Okay, so, but it also says rapture us away from lies. Yeah. So, and it is the Psalm of Ascent. Yeah. So, also if you want to read, you can also read J.R. Church's book, Prophecies in the Psalms, and that will give you a year by year detail of every prophecy, how it was accomplished, and how God is using the Psalms to count the 120 years.
Amen. Since Hanukkah starts tonight,
mm-hmm.
would it be good for us to even as Gentiles to light one candle per night?
That's what I'm doing. Don't leave it on. Don't leave it lit. But yeah, but definitely, I am definitely lighting my menorah candle tonight. Even though it's the 10th, I know it's already Hanukkah in Israel. They were lighting their candles this morning. So I'm going to light and I'm going to put I have an electric one that I put in a mirror in the front window so that people can see each night of Hanukkah. And on the fourth night of Hanukkah, I expect to be gone, and then somebody goes, hey, they forgot to add that other light. And then they'll find out we're not there, and then everything will be. But yeah, I'm celebrating Hanukkah. I have a menorah lamp at home. I do it every year, light each light on each day of Hanukkah.
Amen. Pastor Sandy, is the name it
What?
Is the name it and claim it doctrine wrong?
Name it and claim it is, let me tell you something. I don't want to say that because I want you to understand that it was a hoax based on greedy preachers.
Yep.
Name it and claim it. Because I don't care if you name and claim whatever, if you're not living right, you're going to have a curse.
Yep.
Over your life, okay? You can name and claim all you want. The key to blessing and cursing is obedience or disobedience, okay? Naming it and claiming it is not what, that was a hoax to play on the church at the time. But remember this, the word, I'm going to say word in Hebrew, deber. I'm going to say things in Hebrew, deber. See, words and things is the same word in God's language.
Yeah.
So that means when you speak, you bring forth, okay? So it's not a foolish understanding or idea because Jesus says what you say you will have,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you have to be careful about what you speak. But to sit there and to think you can say, "Got money cometh," and new house cometh,
yeah.
And you live in sinful, ain't nothing coming.
Right.
And if God doesn't have that for you right now, I'm just saying it was a serious hoax. But a lot of stuff was being played on the church at the time, and it was all out of greed. And some people are still doing it, and they'll have to answer to God.
Yeah, they will. In the book of Enoch, it states there are 10 heavens.
No, I don't know if that is right. In the book of the 66 books, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Enoch is wrong, but I'm saying that's not my base.
Right.
Because my base is the 66 books, okay? Because you always have to go back to your base, okay? Additional books that we read, you've got to understand that they have to be weighed according to the 66. The 66 books say there are 3 heavens. There's one you can see, there's the stars and the constellations, and there's the bema, the heavens where God lives. So Paul only talks about three stages of heaven, okay? So to say there's 10 stages, I don't know. I've never been there, you know, and the dreams I've had, nobody ever showed me 10 different heavens. But I say you can read it. It's interesting reading, but I'm going to always go back to the 66 books for my facts.
Amen.
And so I say, Paul said he was elevated up to the third heaven. He never said anything beyond that. If he did, then I would say more, but no.
Amen. Is it possible to do a study on how to recognize the same stories told in the typologies?
You can take the Hebrew Bible. You can take the Hebrew Bible course, and you can see we'll go through Abraham the movie, mm-hmm. David. I mean, Moses has a movie. Joseph has a movie, and many other typologies that are in the Bible. So if you take the Hebrew Bible class, it's going to immediately start teaching you typologies in the Bible.
Yeah.
So you can see all the stories are about Jesus.
Amen. For the Hebrew, just go to our website, s4ctruth.com, and click the link. It's that easy, and it doesn't cost anybody anything.
Yeah. It doesn't cost you anything. If you want the material mailed out to you or emailed to you, so you can look at it, we'll send it to you. It doesn't cost you a dime. You don't have to give nothing. You know, giving has always been a free will thing for the people of God.
Yes.
And there's never been anybody out standing out in the door saying, you know, trying to rev the people up. Oh my goodness, I grew up with all that, and that's just such foolishness.
Me and you both have
it. Yeah.
Does the 40 days that Jesus walked on the earth after he reversed the curse and went up have anything to do with the rapture?
Ha! I think it does now. Remember, everybody was trying to figure it out. Who just asked that question?
That question came from Brandon Johnson.
Brandon, that is an excellent question, because we never could figure out, okay, we know that he stayed here for 40 days, and then after the 40 days, he ascended and went up, right? But now we're seeing that 40 days after the 17th of Hezron is the fourth day of Hanukkah, and Lazarus was called from the grave. So we always know that on the 40th day, something is going to happen, okay? So we're looking at our own 40 right now, and let's see what happens. But that's a very good question.
Adam and Eve were perfect, and they still sinned. Why? How did this happen? Free will.
Well, it's free will too, but just, I want you to understand, Jesus was, before the foundation of the earth, Jesus, your salvation was already being thought of. Do you know that God made the star constellations before he made man? Wow. Look at that, huh? So rather, there was a plan of salvation already in place in case you sin. But I want you to know, in the star constellations was already a son being born to a virgin, dying on the cross, becoming king over the whole world. There was already a virgin, and there was already a Lion of Judah in the end coming as a conquering king. And these star constellations were in the sky on the fourth day of creation. Okay? There was already a sun that rose in the east. You know what I mean? So rather, God saying, I'm putting this plan in case they sin. But it appears to me that God already knew they would sin and already had a salvation ready to be put into place. Because God is not interested in perfect people. He's interested in people who need redemption.
Yes.
Okay? He's interested in redeeming us. We'll talk deeper about that at another time, because that's a very deep subject, because man has to go through this 40 years of testing. Mm-hmm. To prove to God that he loves him, okay? This 40 jubilees that Jesus has been gone has been a test for mankind, okay? So we have to understand that never again will people be allowed in heaven who haven't been tested. That's been done before, mm-hmm. And they're called angels. Yeah. And if you don't test people, they may turn their back on you. But the people that are going up to the kingdom after testing are surefire people. They've been in the fire. They've come out gold. And now they are worthy of the kingdom. Why? Because not only that Jesus died for them, but they also went through a test to see whether they love him or that they hate him. The Jews, they could have went from Egypt, and God could have took them right to the promised land. But no, they went through 40 years. And he said, I did this so that to see whether you love me or whether you hate me. On the whole, I don't know why God did the whole thing. But I know one thing. 40 is a time of testing. And so this is what we're going through. And it's God's plan. I think I would rather have friends that's been tested than friends that I just picked up who found that I was rich.
Right.
You know, so whatever God's doing, he's wise. God is good.
Yes.
Good means he makes the perfect decisions all the time.
Yes.
Only God is good. Okay.
Amen. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, is it a type of shadow of Jesus calling to us from the cloud?
It is exactly. Come up here. Because who's he telling to come up? You think he's saying come up here to the church, but Lazarus, you stay there? No, you can't come up nowhere until the Holy Spirit takes you up.
That's right.
Living inside of you is the Spirit. So when he says, Lazarus, come forth, is the same as saying, Holy Spirit, come forth and bring forth the dead and those also living that are still alive in me, which is mentioned in John chapter 10, when he says, if you die, whoever believes in me, even though they die, they will live. And if you live for me, you will never die. So he's letting you know both are going to be coming up.
Amen. In the book of Jude, it says God does not test. And yet Abraham was tested with Isaac. How should this be understood?
It does not say that God does not test. It says God is not tempted. God is not tempted, okay? Mm-hmm. And nor does he tempt anybody with evil.
Right.
Now, God's test is not, God's never going to test you like, I'm going to send a really good-looking white lady to go in the room and tempt this guy to see if he'll cheat on his wife.
Right.
God does not test us with evil.
Right.
What God tests you with is when things are going well and when things are going good, who is your God? God will give you a beautiful job.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, someone comes in and says, hey, I'm sorry, we're letting you go. God is waiting to see your reaction, okay? Because God wants to know, you know, what type of person are you really, you know? So the test is what? The test is to see whether you are a loyal friend. But now God is never going to test you with evil. The Bible does not say he tempts anyone with sin. He can't be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone with sin. But testing is a part of mankind.
Yes. Amen. Pastor, people with false immortality from the mark of the beast, they really can't be killed, or can God still be Or will he have to just throw them whole into the lake of fire?
They will be in the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever. Will they be ever able to exist upon the earth again? No. God calls, see, the incredible thing is God calls death out of my presence.
Yeah.
He doesn't call death distinguished or gone. He calls death out of my presence. So hell for God is get out of my presence. Okay? For God, that is death. Life is in the presence of God. So yeah, demons will be destroyed. Satan will be destroyed. He will be forever tormented. Demons will be tormented. So, and that place exists, but it's out of God's presence. But they'll never be back on earth again. They're going to come up one more time after the 1,000-year millennium. They're going to come up from the abyss to see if they can cause some more trouble. But God's going to burn them up and then send them right back down into hell. That's it. Hallelujah, that's it. I can go home and get some rest. Pastor Sandy was struggling today a little bit, but I am doing well.
You did it.
I feel.
Thank you from Japan, Pastor Sandy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Japan, for being a part of and listening. We're praying for everyone there. And if you see our friend there, what's his name, the guy that lives in Japan? He's always giving updates on what the Illuminati's doing. He's the one that gave us all the information. But man, he gives you good information.
Good.
He was absolutely right. He said they're gonna push COVID till they get a one world order. And he was right. He said that way many months ago.
Yeah.
All right, so let's pray out.
Thank you, Abigail and Ryan.
Okay. Abigail and Ryan, thank you so much. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when you see my people, bless them and say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekeke Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yair Adonai panavileka v'choneke, Yi'aseh Adonai panavileka v'yashim l'kai shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefilim, and we will see you on Sunday. Is Sunday going to be? No, we won't be, like, probably be on the fourth day. Well, I'll see you in the clouds, man. I just think that this thing is coming soon because it's just coming down so fast. And so I will see you guys soon in the clouds. I won't need any tissue then.
Amen.
Hallelujah.